Christmas in July, it's Christmas in July, it's Christmas in July, it's Christmas in July. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, says team, a trusty old Red Rider carbine action 2 on the sharp range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. Let's do the interactive bit. What colour is your sofa? Or do you call it a settee? Anyway, what colour is it? Oh, yeah? Nice. Yeah, no, mine's green. Yeah, well, no, it's a classy green. It's a classy green. Yeah, no, we got it last year. Yeah. And scene. There we go. Now we know about each other's sofas. So, I've got a packed show for you. Before we get into things, I just want to mention something from the last episode. Do you remember I talked about Mr. Kruger's Christmas, starring Jimmy Stewart? Well, I got an email from Benji Pearson, and this is what he says. Thanks for featuring Mr. Kruger's Christmas. Since it was produced by the church I belong to, I have never known a Christmas without Mr. Kruger's Christmas. It is even on local TV here in Utah all the time. It was a big deal to have Jimmy Stewart in a church movie. Michael McLean, the director, is a big local name. He wrote a musical called The Forgotten Carols. It's kind of a similar story, but longer and has original music. You know how many people will go to productions of The Nutcracker or pantomimes at Christmas time? Well, in Utah, people scrambled to get tickets to The Forgotten Carols. During 2020, they put a filmed version in theatres and cinemas, so we were able to see it in the cinema that year. One more note, since you mentioned Temple Square in Salt Lake City, the church has been doing a huge renovation project of the Salt Lake Temple for the last 6 years or so. Normally, only church members are permitted to go inside the temple, but with the renovation, they're holding an open house for anyone who wants to see the inside of Salt Lake Temple. I must say, having been inside countless times, that it is a beautiful, grand building. Anyway, the temple will be open to the public from April to October 2027 for the open house. I encourage anyone wanting to see the inside of the Salt Lake Temple to plan a trip to Utah during those dates. And he's also put, I'd be happy to meet any of your listeners that do travel to Utah and show them around, which I thought was a really nice gesture. Good work, Benji, and I'm glad you enjoyed my take on Mr. Kruger's Christmas, and I may well look into The Forgotten Carols for a future episode. But now, boys and girls, we're going to do this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol is called Chasing Christmas. And this is a 2005 film, and it was made by ABC Family. It was written by Todd Berger and directed by Ron Oliver. Now, Ron Oliver pretty much makes Hallmark movies, so this is right up his street, because sadly, boys and girls, that's what we're looking at this week. It stars Tom Arnold. You probably know Tom Arnold because he was married to Roseanne Barr. Not that long, actually. It's funny because that's the first thing I think of when I think of Tom Arnold. But he's had another career, not just being married to Roseanne Barr back in the 90s or whenever. So, yeah, it's a contemporary retelling, and you're going to have to strap yourself in, because when I go through this, you're going to have trouble keeping up, which, even if you were watching it, you might have trouble keeping up. It's not your standard version of Scrooge, kids. It's not. So, yeah, hold tight and try and pay attention. There will be questions at the end. The question is, why did I just watch that shit? The film opens in the Bureau of Yuletide Affairs, and it's an office, and there's an elf pushing a trolley full of dull body parts through the office. I don't know why. They're not making toys there. This is like an office, you know, we're all sat at their desks. And for some reason, you've got an elf pushing a trolley loaded, but it's not important. Well, it might be later. So then we cut into this guy's office. He's sat there and this young lady turns up, very attractive young girl she is. And it turns out she is the ghost of Christmas present. She's played by an actress called Andrea Roth, and I didn't recognise her, but she was in 93 episodes of Rescue Me. Do you remember that? It was about the firefighters, and it was Dennis Leary was the main guy. Yeah, from like the early 2000s. She was also in all 23 episodes of the RoboCop TV series as well. You know, the live action one that we all love. Yeah, she was in that. That's pretty much our main thing she was in, though. She's sitting there, and we're waiting for the Ghost of Christmas Past to turn up. And she mentions that she's a bit concerned about the Ghost of Christmas Past. He's been acting a bit weird lately. And then the Ghost of Christmas Past turns up. You might know him, you might not. He's played by an actor called Leslie Jordan. I knew him from Will and Grace. He plays a character called Beverly Leslie. He's a really short guy with kind of like a camp Texan accent. He was one of Karen's enemies in Will and Grace. Yeah, I recognised him anyway, but not from anything else. Sadly, he passed away in 2022. Anyway, he turns up and the boss says, you know why you're here. And it's generally every year they pick someone who's Scrooge of the Year. And he shows them some videos of our Scrooge. Now, our Scrooge is Tom Arnold, and he plays a character called Jack Cameron. And the first we see of him is he's at home, a doorbell rings, he answers the door, there's a couple of kids there. Now, all the houses in his street are decorated apart from his, and they're like, oh, we bought this big snowman for you because you haven't got any decorations. And he's like, oh, thanks very much. Where shall I put it? Shall I put it here? No, I know where I'll put it. And he walks down and puts it in the middle of the road, and as he walks away, a big truck comes and smashes the whole thing. And the kids are like, oh. Now, at this point, this is one of those Christmas films where it ain't filmed near Christmas, because all the trees have still got their leaves on them. And I felt a bit sorry for these two kids, because they're dressed in their snow get-up, you know, like the big thick jackets, and they've got hats on and everything. Probably quite a warm day for them to be dressed like that. Anyway, he goes back indoors, looks at the mantelpiece, he sees a couple of stockings hanging from it. He's not happy. So he goes to see his daughter, and has a go at her about the decorations. And she's wearing a new dress. And he's like, oh, that's a new dress, is it? And she's like, yeah, Mum gave it to me. And he's like, oh, your mother. And she says, well, I don't get any presents from you. And he's like, well, I'll give you two lots of presents for your birthday. Problem with that is, he can say that, but, you know, if you're getting two lots for your birthday every year, it just seems like one lot, doesn't it? Because you're used to it. You wouldn't be like, oh, this is lot number one, this is lot number two. It's just a big pile, isn't it? You know, anyway, he's banned Christmas in their house for 7 years. And it turns out he was married in 1978, and then he had his daughter in 1990. Yeah, that's 12 years before they had their kid. And in 1998, his wife had an affair at a Christmas show with his dentist. And so ever since then, he doesn't want anything to do with Christmas. Get the picture? Right. So this is all exposition for the Ghost of Christmas Present and the Ghost of Christmas Past, so they can get to know their target. And at this point, we find out that the Ghost of Christmas Present, she doesn't have any memories of the past at all. She can only focus on the present. Anyway, where was it? Oh yeah, so since his wife had this affair, he's cancelled Christmas. Then it cuts to him at work, and his secretary, who I thought going to be the Bob Cratchit character, she pokes her head around a corner and she's like, it's okay if everyone leaves early. And he's like, no, it's not. And then she also says, oh, and I've got the guy from the homeless shelter coming to collect the irregular coats. He's like, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. Okay. So then it cuts back again to this office where you got Ghost of Past and Present. And the boss brings out like these candy canes. Now, there's three candy canes, one for the Ghost of Christmas Past, Present and Yet to Come. And they've also got a snowflake separate to it, like a plastic snowflake. And the deal is, the candy cane is a candy cane chronometer, and that's what allows you to travel backwards and forwards in time. And the snowflake is what allows you to be completely invisible when you're traveling backwards and forwards in time. Okay? Remember that, kids. I know you're probably losing track of what's going on already. Then they're like, oh yeah, we need to get in his ex-business partner. And so he's like the Marley type. And the whole point of him is to explain to Scrooge, Tom Arnold, Jack Cameron, whatever you want to call him, to explain to him what's going to happen, just like Jacob Marley did. His name's Matthew Preston, and he died when he was fishing, and he's got a swordfish through his chest. It's not a particularly big swordfish, and it looks like it's made of plastic, because it is. Yeah, he's the ex-business partner. And here's the thing, it turns out that Cameron's coats that Tom Arnold works for, or owns, began by his dad. So what's he got a business partner for? If it's his dad's, who cares? Anyway, At this point, we cut back to Jack. I'm going to try and remember to call him Jack, but don't be surprised if I call him Tom Arnold or Scrooge, we'll see. It cuts back to him, and he gets a phone call from his wife, and she's in London. And do you know, you can tell she's in London, because she's sitting in a hotel room, I believe it's a hotel room, and through the window is Big Ben. Nearly all hotel rooms featured in the movies, when they're in London, have Big Ben through the window. It's a very short call. She's just like, oh, working late again, are we? And he's like, yeah, well, you had an affair, and that's pretty much it. I don't know. Anyway, then we cut to the supermarket, and he's there with his daughter. He's like, look, I'm going to buy you one thing, okay? So go and choose something. Don't choose any makeup. And then he's looking to get some alcohol, and he goes to buy some cans of Coke, but all the cans of Coke have got Santa on. So he goes up to the shop assistant, and he's like, have you got any cans of Coke without Santa on? And he's like, no. And he's like, right, we're leaving. And then his daughter comes up, and she goes, oh, can I have this? It's makeup. Brilliant. Anyway, he's like, no, we're not shopping it, we're leaving. So then they leave, and again, because there's a lot of cutting forwards and backs, you're just going to have to keep up, kids. It cuts back to the office again, and we got the Marley character, Matthew Preston. They're explaining to him what he's got to do, and he's like, oh, what, like Charles Dickens? And I'm going to play this bit for you.
I always thought you guys were just fictional characters that Charles Dickens made up in that...
Charles Dickens was a two-bit hack.
Hey, don't get him started.
Charles Dickens was a former target of ours
who chose to write a book about his experiences, even though we explicitly told him not to.
But it was a great book.
It was crap!
Yeah, I didn't mind that bit, actually. Thought that was all right. Bit of fun, I suppose. So then, Matthew Preston, Jacob Marley, he turns up round at Jack's house, and he explains what's going on with the visits.
You're going to be visited by three spirits.
Is that three spirits counting you, or three in addition to you? Because that would be four.
In addition.
Okay, well, that's four spirits, and I wish you'd have said that right up top. Are they all going to be dead former co-workers?
No. They're going to be the ghost of Christmas.
Like in the book.
Yeah, like in the book. Do yourself a favor, don't even mention the book to these guys because it's kind of like a sore subject.
That would make me Scrooge, and you would be like that Bob Marley guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Doesn't any of this shock or concern you at all?
You know, it would if I didn't know that it was a hallucination brought on by the combination of alcohol and stress.
Okay, so this annoyed me because he turns up at 7 and then the ghosts are coming at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock. That's annoyed me. Okay, but it has to happen that way so they've got sort of enough time for what happens in the... Oh, for God's sake. Right, are you keeping track? Shall I give you a quick summary of what's going on so far? Yeah? Okay, quick summary. A lot of shit's happened. Right, so then he's asleep by 8 o'clock. Oh, Jack Cameron is, because that's what you do. Christmas Eve, go to sleep. And Ghost of Christmas Past turns up. He takes him back to 1965, and he's in his house when he was a little kid, and his mum and dad are there putting out the presents, and then they go to bed, and Past gets all annoyed, I don't even know why, he starts getting all annoyed, and he has like a minor breakdown, and he smashes his snowflake, which means now they're both visible in that time. Now, you know, like in the Dickens book, they say these are just shadows. Well, they ain't shadows. This is proper time travel, this one, and they're there. And then he's like, oh, come and have a look at this. So Tom looks out the window and he hits him on the back of the head with a snow globe and knocks him unconscious. So then it's 9 o'clock and Ghost of Christmas Present turns up at Jack's place and he's not there. So she goes back to the bureau and we find out that if he's not back from 1965 by midnight, Jack will be stuck there forever and it will really affect the space-time continuum bollocks. You got all that. So that we definitely need to get him back. It's not just like, I'll leave him, he'll be fine. We can't do that. Okay, Present's like, Ghost of Christmas Present. She's like, well, look, I can go back and save the day. So she gets a chronometer and a snowflake. She goes back in time. Well, back in the past where Jack was, he was unconscious. Now he's woken up, but he's tied to a chair with Christmas lights because that's what you tie people to chairs with at Christmas time. I don't know if you knew that. Watch any Christmas film where someone's tied up. They're probably using fairy lights. Anyway, then young Jack turns up and he thinks old Jack is Santa Claus. He doesn't look like Santa. He's got dark hair. He hasn't got a beard. Anyway, young Jack unties him and then he hears someone coming in. So Jack's like, oh, right, it's the Ghost of Christmas Past. I'm going to get him. She comes in. It's the Ghost of Christmas Present. He tackles her on the floor and he's like, got her on the floor. And he's like, oh, you're not the Ghost of Christmas Past. And she's like, correct, I'm not. And little Jack is like, oh, are you Santa? It's a woman. Of course it ain't blooming Santa. And she's like, no, I'm the Tooth Fairy. Anyway, we find out that she's broken her chronometer during the fight. So she can't take Jack back. They're stuck in the past now, the three of them. past, present, and Jack. So they have to find the Ghost of Christmas Past, and he has to take them back to present. Are you keeping up, kids? I should just stop checking in. You're probably not even listening anymore. You're probably doing something else. Stop doing that. Listen to this. It's important stuff. So then she's like, right, well, where's he gone? And he says, well, it's Christmas Eve. Everywhere's going to be closed. And she's like, well, he probably wants cigarettes, apparently. So he's like, oh, there'll be one place that's open. Now, don't forget, young Jack is already in bed. Plus, his mum and dad have gone to bed. We go to this department store. I'm not quite sure what time it's meant to be. Maybe about 9 o'clock. Loads of kids there. And there's Santa there as well. You've got to ignore the smaller things like that, though, because it would ruin the whole film if it hadn't already been ruined. They go to this department store and they go to the cigar department and the cigar bloke's like, yeah, he left a minute ago. So then they go to the hat department, I don't know, and then there's a big chase scene where they're running through the department store. He tries to escape with his chronometer, sets it to a different time and he disappears, but they disappear with him because the deal is that all three of them are now attached to his chronometer. Do you get that? Okay, so wherever he goes in time, they're going to go with him. So then they've turned up in this hotel. Then we get another chase scene where they're chasing the Ghost of Christmas Past through the hotel. And it turns out we're in 1978 and it's Jack's honeymoon with his wife. And what's great is this is nearly 30 years before the film is actually set. And Jack hasn't aged a day. Yeah, when he was 20, he looked about 50. His hair was slightly longer. That's the only difference. Anyway, they go to reception and they're like, right, have you seen this guy? He's like, no, but he can't have gone anywhere because the lodge is snowed in. Convenient. Yeah, so no one can leave this lodge today. It's all snowed in. So here's another little thing I noticed. It's light outside. Now, if this is the middle of winter, it's going to be dark outside because it's meant to be about 8 or 9 o'clock. I don't, the whole time thing on this is ridiculous because they've only got a couple of hours at this point before midnight that they've got to get. Anyway, where was I? Right. She says, right, you'll have to wait in this phone kiosk. Don't go anywhere because if the young you sees the old you, it could mess up everything. I don't know. So he's waiting in this phone kiosk. She's like, right, I'll go and find him. She goes to the bar because she figures that's where the Ghost of Christmas Past will be because he's into his drinking and smoking. She sits down at the bar and the Star Wars Holiday Special is showing. So she sits down and sits there watching that. Then we cut back to Tom and he's been in this phone booth, I don't know how long, but he needs a wee. So he says, oh, I need a wee. Now, so he goes up to reception, he's like, where's the nearest toilet? Goes to the toilet. When he's walking down the hall, who should be coming down the hall behind him is young him and his wife. And so he runs and hides under this pool table in the games room. And young him and his wife come and have sex on the pool table. We don't get to see it, which, to be honest, would have brightened up an otherwise crappy film. Sadly, we don't get that. But anyway, he's there under the table. Apparently, they've done their thing. Cut back to the bar. She's still watching the Star Wars Christmas special. Some dude comes in, starts buying her drinks. Now we cut back to young Jack again, and he's saying, oh, I want to go and watch It's a Wonderful Life, because they're showing it in one of the rooms here in the hotel. And she's like, oh, but I want to go dancing. He's like, well, we can go dancing afterwards, or maybe we can go ice skating afterwards. And she's like, oh, okay, fine. And then they leave, so now old Jack is safe to leave as well. Cut back to the Ghost of Christmas Present. She's on her fifth beer at the bar with this dude. Jack comes in and he says to the guy, like, you know, you have to go away, all right, I got to talk to her. So he leaves, and who does he go and see but the Ghost of Christmas Past, who's sitting in the corner reading a newspaper, like hiding behind the newspaper. And the Ghost of Christmas Past is like, did you get her drunk? And he's like, yeah, she's had about 5 beers. And the ghost is like, right, cool, and pays the guy. Yeah, that's what's happening. So then, across the bar, Jack and the Ghost of Christmas Present see the Ghost of Christmas Past, and they go up to him, and they're like, right, you've got to send us back. And it turns out that they can't use his candy cane chronometer. It's set to his own bio-something craps. So they can't use it themselves. So he's like, I'll do a deal with you. Give me an hour so I can drink, have some fun, smoke some cigarettes, and then I'll come back, meet you here, and we can go back to the present. And they're like, okay, fair enough. So then Jack and the Ghost of Christmas Present are still in the bar, and she's drinking a cocktail. Well, a second earlier, he was trying to get her sober, but now he's giving her more alcohol. So she's drinking this cocktail, and then she's like, oh, this is boring, let's go somewhere else. So he takes her to a hot tub, and they're sitting in this hot tub drinking champagne. even more alcohol. And they have a bit of a moment where it seems like they're quite keen on each other. Then they're like, oh, we better go. So then they go back to the bar again, where they're having the, what's called the Deck the Halls disco. And it's like everyone's dancing the hustle. The music slows down and they're having a slow dance. While they're having this dance, who should be in the bar as well is his wife, his young wife, you know, the one that's just got married. Now, she was meant to be having a nap in her room, but she's in this bar. Some guy comes up to her, and in less than 30 seconds, she's like, okay, I'll meet you in your room. And they're going to go off and do some stuff. So Jack goes up to the guy who's meant to be going up to his own room to see his ex-wife and punches him. And we get the world's most ridiculous, massive bar fight where everyone's punching everyone. And let me play some of the punches for you. Have a listen to this. While this fight's going on, the record gets stuck on the turntable and it starts scratching, making scratching noises. And the guy behind the bar, this is a complete rip-off of the bit in Back to the Future where the guy phones up his mate, I think it's Chuck Berry or someone, and he says, hey, you know that new sound you're looking for? Listen to this. And he holds up the phone to where Marty McFly is playing the guitar. Well, let me play what happens in this one.
Hey, Curtis! Curtis! It's Joey, man, your roommate Joey!
Now, I don't know if you caught that, but he says his name's Joey, and he wants to speak to Curtis, and he says Grandmaster Flash. Did you hear that bit? So that was Grandmaster Flash's name, Joey, was his first name, and Curtis, he's referring to, is Curtis Blow, who was also part of the original movement that started scratching records and that sort of stuff. So, you know, could be worse. I didn't mind that bit. So during this bar fight, he gets hit over the head by a bottle, by the Ghost of Christmas Present, by mistake, and then the Ghost of Christmas Past is there, and she's like, get us out of here, and they all go to 1998. Now, in 1998 is when the ex-wife was off with the dentist. You remember that bit? So they're at this play, they're all three of them sat in the play, and the Ghost of Christmas Past runs off, and then Present goes after him, and then the Ghost of Christmas Present is chatting to him outside, and he's like, look, let's just not be ghosts anymore. Let's just be people, and we can travel through time and just live proper lives instead of just once a year doing a thing where we have to convert some Scrooge. And she's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. That's not happening. Then we cut back to Jack and watching the show. His wife gets up and heads out just while, like, it's the end of the show, actually. And Present Jack follows her and he talks to her, and let me play what he says.
Cheating on your husband while your daughter's on stage on Christmas Eve?
What are you talking about? I'm just going out to the car to get some lipstick.
You mean like on a honeymoon when you did not go to the Deck the Halls disco and did not try to pick up that guy?
You knew about that?
Yeah. I also know you're on your way to the coat check. We're going to hook up with Dr. Roland, DDS.
What, are you psychic or something?
You always were funny, Allison. And I'm going to miss that about you.
Okay, so now you know. What do you want from me?
I want to thank you.
You want to thank me for cheating on you?
No, I want to thank you for 18 years of above average marriage. And I want to thank you for mothering a wonderful, beautiful daughter who, if all goes well, will grow up to be absolutely nothing like you. And I want to thank you for leaving me right now while I still have a few years left to enjoy my life without you.
You're welcome.
Right. Well, get her going. The doctor is in.
And that's all well and good, but do you think she's going to go off bonking the dentist in the cloakroom after he said that to her? Not likely to happen, is it? Because then the 1998 him has got to discover her in the cloakroom. And that would just mess things up completely, if you ask me. I think the whole thing, a bit ridiculous, really. So now we're back outside and the Ghost of Christmas Past and Present are wrestling for the chronometer. They end up going back to 1958, and it's black and white in 1958. They decided to do that. I'm not going to argue. It's pointless arguing with them. Pointless. And this is when Jack was a little baby, just after we'd been born. And Jack said, why don't me and you stay? We could stay here, because it was some party and they're dancing. And she's like, no, if you stay here past midnight, then you'll cease to have existed before then, apparently. And your daughter never would have been born. He's like, oh, I didn't realise that. Okay, right, let's go and chase Ghost of Christmas Past. So they go running after the Ghost of Christmas Past. He goes upstairs. When he comes out on the roof, for some reason, it's back in colour again. I don't know why. I don't know why. He runs and jumps onto the next roof, and then Jack's got to run and jump onto the next roof. He's got 15 seconds to stop him, even though he's dropped his chronometer. So I don't know how they're going to stop him jumping onto the roof and going back and getting the chronometer. Well, he's going to take his chances anyway. So he takes his run up, and just as he's getting to the edge of the building, a guy turns up and puts his hand up in front of him and says this.
So fast.
And you might think, so what? What's the big deal about what he just said? Well, here's the thing. It's who said it. It's the Ghost of Christmas Future, and they do call him the Ghost of Christmas Future, not the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. He speaks, and that's pretty much all he does. He has one line. Yeah, that's the whole of his part. It's pointless, if you ask me. He's not the only one who's turned up. Also, their boss, the one from earlier in the office, and that sort of stuff. He turns around to the Ghost of Christmas Past and says, "You're sacked," and he gives the job to the Ghost of Christmas Present. Which is nice, because that means that now she's got memories, whereas before she never had any memories, now she's got memories. And they all go back to present day. So now we're outside Jack's house, he's there with the Ghost of Christmas Present, the Ghost of Christmas Past, his boss and the future guy, they've all gone back to the Bureau of whatever it's called, and they're saying their goodbyes, and he says, "You won't forget me, will you?" And she says, "No, I won't now, now that I can remember things." And then they have a kiss, and she disappears. And then the daughter comes out and she's like, "You right, Dad?" He's like, "I'm all right, I'm great, etc. Get ready, we're going out." She says, "Where are we going?" He says, "We're going to go and spread some Christmas cheer." And guess what they do next? Nothing. That's the end of it. It's him stood on his front doorstep shouting, "Merry Christmas." And that's it. That's the redemption scene. If it could be called a redemption scene. Because really, they didn't give him the whole Scrooge treatment, did they? I think we're supposed to think that he was redeemed because he forgave his wife, which I'm not quite sure why he forgave her, because he actually caught her cheating on him more than the one time with the dentist. He was there when she was cheating on their honeymoon. So goodness knows why he's become all forgiven. The whole thing is something. I don't know what they were aiming to get from it. I don't feel like they did a redemption story on Scrooge. They definitely didn't do any kind of redemption for the Ghost of Christmas Past. I think they came up with a concept and thought this would be fun, and they did the best they could with it. And the best they could, well, it was some ink. I'm not going to say it was awful, because I did watch it twice and I was paying attention to it. I wasn't like, this is awful, let's turn this off. And I'm not afraid to turn off a film that's rubbish. Don't worry about it. I'll tell you one of my big regrets in life, boys and girls. You know the Transformers films? Okay, I went to see the first one, walked out, thought that was rubbish. Right? I'm a grown man, that was rubbish. Watch the next one, still want to see that. That was rubbish. Why did I bother going to see that one? Then the next one came out, I thought the reviews were so good. It was making loads of money, it was really popular. I thought, right, we'll go and watch this. It was rubbish. And my big regret is that I never stood up halfway through and just shouted at the top of my voice, "This is shit!" And then stormed out of the cinema. And the same for the Twilight films as well. Same thing happened. Every time I thought they must be good. They're making so much money. Everyone keeps going back to them. And they're all shite as well. I never did, boys and girls. I'm not saying that this film is better than the Twilight films or the Transformers films. But it ain't much worse. Oh, actually, there's one final scene. And that is the Ghost of Christmas Past. He is now dressed as an elf pushing a trolley through the office with all the doll body parts. Yeah. That's his new job, and he's not happy about it. And that's pretty much it. That's the film. I hope you understood some of what I was talking about there, because it's not easy to follow. Not when you've got some bloke just shouting at a microphone trying to explain it to you. I mean, even when I was watching it, I was having a bit of trouble. So me trying to explain it to you must have been much worse. Maybe go and watch it, maybe don't. It's your life. It's on YouTube, though. So, yeah, why not check out Chasing Christmas? This episode's version of A Christmas Carol. Now let's do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
If the past few years have taught us anything at the Tiki Bar, it's the truth in the immortal words of Winston Churchill. The best argument against sobriety is having a 5-minute conversation with the average sober person. Now, I recently was reading some Christmas short stories when I discovered Enid Blyton. She is an English children's writer. Although she is the world's fourth most translated author behind Agatha Christie, Jules Verne, and William Shakespeare, I had never heard of her. Her books have been worldwide bestsellers since the 1930s, selling more than 600 million copies. She wrote nearly 40 books a year, in addition to numerous magazine and newspaper articles. I guess that Blyton's work is somewhat controversial among literary critics and teachers. This is due to the basic nature of her writing and her themes. The BBC even refused to broadcast her stories because of their perceived lack of literary merit. Some have criticized her as being elitist, sexist, racist, and xenophobic. I didn't really see evidence of this in her Christmas tales, but I did discover some Do You Hear What I Hear content. There is a story that was reprinted from her Sunny Stories magazine from 1959 called The Christmas Tree Aeroplane. It tells about a lady, Mrs. Lee, who lives in the big house. She invites all the local children to a Christmas party. A young Harry, who is poor and has an ill mother, ends up with nothing as he gives away what he receives to the other children who either didn't get a gift from the tree or missed out on the toys popping out of the crackers. When Mrs. Lee notices, Harry is given the aeroplane from the top of the tree. It was then that I felt the same little jolt I feel whenever I see the words flavor, color, or humor spelled with an extra U. There must be some mistake. It is not aeroplane, it's airplane. You see, aeroplane is still the preferred spelling in England, while airplane is the standard in the US. The difference in pronunciation comes down to our regional variations in English. I mean, we share the same language, but we have developed two different forms, a British and an American version. Aeroplane is the older spelling, with roots in French and Greek. The 19th century French word aeroplane is made up of the Greek word aero, meaning air, and the French word plan, meaning flat surface. Plane is associated with the geometric plane, which came to mean the flat surfaces which would allow these machines to get lift. The term was coined to refer to those inventions that are able to fly through the air using flat surfaces or wings. Of course, although the words sound slightly different, their meaning is the same: a powered fixed-wing aircraft. The Scientific American Journal did try in 1906 to argue that airplane is a much better word than aeroplane. The suggestion was considered by the BBC, but it went nowhere. This all probably goes back to that renegade American, Noah Webster, who advocated for less fancy and simplified spellings as a means to distinguish us from the Brits and to tie our wayward colonies together. And now it seems we may have won this linguistic battle. The American variant, airplane, it's creeping into common British usage and acceptance. What this means is that those who say aeroplane in the UK do so because it's older and it's more etymologically correct. Americans, we just couldn't resist making something easier. But the best thing about this lesson? Learning that Edith Blyton's love of tennis included playing naked. As it says in her biography, nude tennis was a common practice in those days among the more louche members of the middle classes. Cheers and happy Christmas.
So the whole airplane thing, very interesting. But what I found more interesting was that Bob had not heard of Enid Blyton. Enid Blyton, when I was young, was as popular to younger children as Roald Dahl was to your average child. Yeah, Enid Blyton, everyone grew up with Enid Blyton books. You had the famous Five series, The Secret Seven, Noddy, which was still really popular today. They're still making Noddy cartoons. And The Faraway Tree, which I was a big fan of. I think they're meant to be making a film of The Faraway Tree or a cartoon of it as well. But She was remarkably racist in her books, so a lot of them have been changed, and a lot of the guys that were the baddies in the old books have been changed. So, yeah, I'm not going to go into it. I'll tell you what, really worth reading about her life. She was a very interesting woman, like the way she actually didn't seem to like children that much, but she made a fortune out of them. There was a film I watched where Helena Bonham Carter played Enid Blyton. It's very interesting. Her whole life was very interesting. But, yeah, I'm amazed that she's not that popular over in the US. Yeah, she's a staple, or used to be a staple, like I say, because of the whole racism thing. Probably not as popular now. Although, having said that, my girls have read a few of her books, but I think they've been cleaned up since she originally wrote them. Anyway, great work, Bob. He's going to be back in a bit, but now we're doing this. Boys and girls, I spent so much time talking about that Chasing Christmas that I haven't got a lot of time for the other segments this episode, so I thought I'd just do a little one. And I haven't got a jingle for it. This is just a Christmas memory of mine that I want to share with you, that I don't think I've spoken about before on the podcast. Now, my daughter Robin, she's 9 and a half now, but she was born on the 12th of December. She was like an early Christmas present back in 2015. And that first Christmas, she would have only been a couple of weeks old, so she didn't really understand what was going on. And then the second year, she was only one, still barely talking. And we gave her presents, as you do, but she didn't understand what Christmas was, although she liked the nice bright lights and that. And the same the following year when she was two, same sort of thing. She sort of understood Christmas. I remember calling it Krishbush, and I'd try and explain it to her, and she sort of was almost as excited as her mum and I were. But when she was three, she really finally did understand what Christmas was, and she understood about putting out the stocking, and she understood that Father Christmas was going to come in the night and put presents in her stocking. Now, she was too young to write back then, so I don't think we did a Christmas list, but we might have talked about what she wanted and what she wanted Santa to bring. Anyway, that Christmas day came, and the night before, my wife and I, Carla, we'd packed up all these presents, put them in a stocking. She's got like a bunk bed, although there's no lower bed. Underneath it, she's got all her toys and stuff like that, and a slide that comes down. So she's quite high up, so we thought we'd put her presents on the floor at the bottom of her slide. And that's where they were, with the stocking. And Christmas morning came, and we woke up, and from the monitor, from her room, we could hear music playing. And what she had in her room was a little light projector that projected pictures up on the screen that played a lullaby, and we could hear that playing. Now, quite often in the night, you'd hear a lullaby playing. It was on a timer for 5 minutes, and then it would stop, and you'd know she'd gone back to sleep again. So we lay there listening, and we heard the lullaby playing. And it didn't stop. So we thought, oh, well, maybe she's up. So the two of us got up. And it was very dark still. It was very early in the morning. I can't remember what time it was. I'm guessing about six-ish. And we went into our room. And there she was, our three-year-old little girl, holding her projector and using it as a torch and just holding it, looking at her Christmas presents. And she hadn't touched them and she hadn't unwrapped them. And the whole time we'd heard that lullaby, she's been sat there holding it, just looking at her presents in the dark. That was the first Christmas I really remember with Robin. And it was truly magical, a great way to start the day. Yeah, I thought I'd share that with you. Now let's do this. Boys and girls, are you ready to laugh? Are you ready to laugh? Well, don't worry, I'll soon put a stop to that. Here's your joke. What should you have for breakfast on Christmas Day? Mistletoe toast. There we go. Sorted.
Where are you, Christmas?
Where are you, Christmas? How about Las Vegas, Nevada? It seems an odd choice to find the Christmas spirit here, but check out the Christmas suite at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. This is the best place to combine holiday cheer with a glitzy gambling getaway all year round. You will find festive Christmas decor and holiday ambiance right near the Vegas Strip. So what better way to double your holiday bonus? You can stay in a room that has 3 decked out Christmas trees, 2 elf on the shelf themed bathrooms, and a cozy fireplace. And if that isn't enough, don't drop all your money gambling. Check out Ralph Jones, a retail showroom bursting with Christmas decorations 365 days a year. This place maintains one of the largest year-round inventories of Christmas merchandise, and it specializes in oversized Christmas decorations. So you'll be able to find those massive ornaments, wreaths, LED displays, and life-size reindeer that you've been looking for. This is really a visual spectacle, so check it out even if you aren't buying anything. And then take in the Carpenter's Legacy Show in residency at the Planet Hollywood Casino. It recreates the 1976 live performance of the Carpenters, that famed brother and sister duo who produced the iconic single Merry Christmas, Darling. This Las Vegas tribute show is filled with all of their hits, including the Christmas ones. Now, if you know of another lit up place that is more naughty than nice, you wager on Jack. He'll tip me off, and together we'll tell you where to find Christmas throughout the year.
And you thought Vegas was just hookers and gambling. Well, it's got Christmas as well. Great work there, Bob. Thanks so much for that. Boys and girls, you got to check out Bob's podcast. It's Festive Foreign Film Fans, where him and his mate Mark look at festive foreign films. If you're not listening to it, why not? If you are listening to it, well done. Good work. Now it's time for this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Hey, it's the quiz. It's the reason you're all here. Yes, it's the quiz. It's the quiz. We've discussed that. Okay, I'm going to give you the scores from last week. With only 1 point was Kira Gade or Garde. Yeah, sorry to hear that, Kira, but thanks for letting me know your score. With 5 points was Benji Pearson. I think you could have done better than that, to be honest, Benji, because I've got 6 people with 6 points. We have Pamela Wootton, Lance Gorman, Angela Moss, Frank Talley, my best friend Chris Kavanagh, and Martin Goodman. That's not Martin's best score, that. Okay. 7 points, we've got Guy Sawyer and John Gomez. With 8 points, we have Jack Unverfirth and Mickey Mike Westphal. He only got 8. Yeah, last time we got 10. Remember that? I remember it. And I think he might have got it the time before as well. How does that make you feel, Mike? I'm devastated for you. Don't forget, boys and girls, Mike is the host of the Advent Calendar House, and it's still July, so his episodes are still coming out every 2 days. Go and check it out. Advent Calendar House podcast. With 9 points, we have Mary Pulte, and that was the highest score ever. So well done, Mary Pulte. Good work. We have Adam Parker, also with 9 points. And with 10 points, I haven't heard from him in a while, but my mate Ed Daly scored 10 points. Yeah, good to hear from you, Ed, and keep up the good work. Right, now it's this episode's quiz. We have a selection of questions. You will provide me with a selection of answers. Question number 1. Who played the part of Kris Kringle in the 1947 movie Miracle on 34th Street? 1947, okay, not the remake. I'll tell you something else. He is the only person ever to win an Oscar for playing Santa Claus. But whom is he? Next one. Easy one. What vehicle features heavily in the Coca-Cola Christmas advertising? Huh? Easy one, nice. Next one. Who directed, it's Coca-Cola again, right? But it doesn't feature the same vehicle as the last one, I don't think. Who directed Coca-Cola's famous 2020 epic Christmas advert? I'll give you a couple of clues, or maybe they might help, probably won't. The advert was called The Letter, and the director, he's won an Oscar, so he's a proper director. He's the business. That's not a clue. That's just me saying he's a good director. Okay, next question. Oh, what is the first sequel to A Christmas Prince called? And I will not accept A Christmas Prince 2. Okay? Next one. What is usually the last day to open on an advent calendar? Easy one, isn't it? Next one. What is the name? Oh, it's another first sequel question. What is the name of the first sequel to The Santa Claus? Okay. Okay. And the next one. In the Harry Potter series, how many Christmas trees were put up in the Great Hall at Hogwarts? It's a guess, that one, isn't it, kids? Unless you're a proper diehard fan, it's a guess. I'm going to guess. I don't know what the answer is yet. Question number something. This is UK-based, right? But just do the maths. You should be fine. What song spent 5 weeks at number 2 in the UK charts at Christmas in 1984? Okay? Work it out. Get a pen and paper if you have to. It probably won't help. Next one. What nationality is Jose Feliciano, the singer of Feliz Navidad? Feliz Navidad. Okay, oh, this is the last one, number 10. We're going to end on an easy one for you, kids, okay? You'll all get this. Congratulations. In A Christmas Story, what does Flick get stuck to a flagpole? Okay? He gets something stuck to a flagpole. What? Okay, there you go. There's your 10 questions. Let's roll with the answers. Okay, question number one. And that was, who played the part of Kris Kringle in the 1947 movie Miracle on 34th Street? That was, of course, Edmund Gwenn. Yeah. Like I said earlier, the only actor to ever have won an Oscar for playing Santa Claus, which I find hard to believe because most performances of Santa Claus are certainly Oscar worthy. Okay, what? Next one. What vehicle features heavily in Coca-Cola Christmas advertising? Now, it says here lorry. However, I will accept truck as well. I don't know what you call it in your country. I know lorry is more of an English word. I don't know if Bob's covered that yet on Do You Hear What I Hear? He probably has. He might not have. Question number something. Who directed Coca-Cola's famous 2020 epic Christmas advert? Well, that was Taika Waititi. Yeah. He directed a couple of Thor movies, but he also won an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay for Jojo Rabbit. That was him. Remember the advert? I don't. Now, if you're in another country going, hang on, they probably only showed it in the UK, I double-checked. All right, I Googled it, and it said it was a global advertising campaign. So don't give me a hard time. Right, next question. What is the first sequel to A Christmas Prince called? And the answer is A Christmas Prince, The Royal Wedding. All right, do you know what I put? Well, originally I thought, oh, it's The Royal Wedding. And I thought, oh no, hang on, there's one before that, because there's been four, hadn't there? The Royal Wedding's the third one. The Royal Engagement. Well, I got it wrong, didn't I? Proud of yourselves? I'm not. Question number whatever. What is usually the last day to open on an advent calendar? Well, it's 24, isn't it? But I swear, when I was a kid, I swear it used to go up to 25. I don't know what age I was when I was like, hang on a minute. This has only got 24 doors on it. Why are there only 24 doors on this calendar? Huh? Huh? Anyway, maybe they've always had 24. I don't know. Okay, next one. What is the name of the sequel to The Santa Claus? That one I did get. The answer is The Santa Claus 2. That's all they've got in the book as well, The Santa Claus 2. Can you believe that? It's The Santa Claus 2, The Mrs. Claus. And don't think you're getting the point. Even though the book's got The Santa Claus 2, you're not getting a point if you just said The Santa Claus 2. You've got to say The Santa Claus 2, The Mrs. Claus. Although, when I Googled it, it did actually just come up as The Santa Claus 2. And then it said, in brackets, also known as The Santa Claus 2, The Mrs. Claus. But I'm not giving you a point for just putting a 2 on the end. I can't do it. Not even at Christmas. I'm doing pretty badly today, so I'm not going to be dishing out points to anyone. Right. In the Harry Potter series, how many Christmas trees were put up in the Great Hall at Hogwarts? First off, I thought, probably one per house, so 4. And I thought, nah, I'm going 12. Well, the correct answer was 12. Hey! Hooray for me. I don't even know why I went for 12. I was thinking maybe the 12 days of Christmas or something. But yeah, I'm proud of that. Okay, next one. Which song spent 5 weeks at number 2 in the UK charts at Christmas in 1984? Well, here's the thing, boys and girls. 1984 is when Band Aid released Do They Know It's Christmas? And it was the biggest selling single of the year. In fact, when it came out in the UK, it was the biggest selling single of all time. That same year, Last Christmas by Wham was released, and that came in at number 2. And it sat there at number 2 the whole time that Do They Know It's Christmas was at number one. So not only was Last Christmas the second best-selling single of 1984, even though it didn't get to number one, it was also one of the 10 best-selling singles of all time in the UK. And it finally got to number one, I think it was 2023, but I could be wrong, might have been before then. Okay, next one. What nationality is Jose Feliciano, singer of Feliz Navidad? I said Mexican, he said, I think you'll find I'm Puerto Rican, hence my accent. Yeah, he was Puerto Rican, so I got that completely wrong, didn't I? And the final question. In A Christmas Story, what does Flick get stuck to the flagpole? Now, I'm not going to make some smutty joke about it being his dinkle. It was actually his tongue. There you go. Those are your 10 questions. Well, I scored 7, boys and girls. It's not my best showing, but, you know, that's what I scored. Let me know what you scored. You know the deal. Just drop me an email. It's totalchristmas@gmail.com. I'm going to give you about 3 minutes now of silence for you to go and do that. So off you go. Go and do your thing. I'll sit here. 3 minutes is longer than you need. It's just a quick email. Just the number. Just put the number in the subject as well. Then just send it. 3 minutes. That's 3 minutes starting now. Well, I'm bored of that. Okay, let's get on with the next thing. Here we go. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I haven't got a recommendation because I've been listening to the same podcasts I've been listening to for the past sort of month or so. TV-wise, the wife and I have just started watching The Sopranos. Yeah, I only caught a few episodes the first time around. Never really got into it. And I've heard so much good stuff over the years that we've started watching that. So I could recommend that, but you've probably heard of it and probably know all about it. So, yeah. If you want to get in touch, you know what to do. My email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. Don't forget to send me your quiz score. You can also go on the website, which I haven't updated for about 5 years now, and that is totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'm going to be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
Good night, Santa. Good night, Mrs. Santa's sister.